Days later, not as a result of that, but because of his hospital admission. Plus, now they want to change what's on the menu at the schools for your child or your children. So what will their lunches possibly comprise? Those stories and more after the 9 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock, financial markets in Europe and Asia are in positive territory after a US court blocked Donald Trump's trade tariffs. Judges in New York have ruled that Mr. Trump overstepped his authority when he brought in the levies last month. The White House, which has 10 days to comply with the ruling, says it'll appeal. LBC's US correspondent Simon Marks has more details.
On the face of it, it is a substantial blow to President Trump's protectionist trade war that is being waged on nations all over the world, and one of those nations is still the UK. Remember that those baseline tariffs of 10% remained in effect on all British exports except for steel, aluminium, and 100,000 British cars. So this is a big deal.
Figures seen by LBC show a significant rise in the number of children being caught with knives in school. Cases are up by 60% over 2 years, to an average of 12 discoveries every day. Malachi Nunes is a community leader in the West Midlands.
The youngest one for me was nine years old. He said to me that he'd carry a knife to protect himself because in his mind it was kill or be killed mentality. So if I've got a knife, I've got a chance of killing him first.
The government has set a target of halving knife crime over the next decade. Four people have died after thousands of people crowded into a UN food warehouse in Gaza. Two Palestinians reportedly died in a crush, and two others were killed by gunfire. An environment minister has told Nick that drinking water could have to be rationed without new reservoirs. The government's moving to fast-track the construction of two new reservoirs in Lincolnshire and Cambridgeshire. It's taking over the planning process from local authorities. The water minister, Emma Hardy, says they'll be the first for 30 years.
This really matters because if we don't build these reservoirs, then we're not going to have the drinking water that we need by the mid-2030s. And as you've mentioned, then we'll be looking at things like rationing in the same way that they do in the Mediterranean.
Nationwide has posted a 30% jump in annual profits after a year that saw it complete the takeover of Virgin Money. It's reported pre-tax profits of £2.3 billion, up from £1.8 billion a year earlier. 4 million customers will receive a bonus payment of £100 each. In the city, the FTSE 100 a short time ago was up 7 at 87.33. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.19. LBC weather, cloud with patchy rain for many places. Sunny spells developing across central and eastern areas. A high of 23 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
Barclays ready-made investments. The clue's in the name. Not Barclays where do I begin investments. You can start from £50. That's why they're not difficult to get started investments either. And you can choose your risk level. So they're hardly in at the deep end investments. So if you've got savings and you want to help grow your money over 5 years or more, then search Barclays Ready Made Investments. Make money work for you. Investing is not for everyone. The value of investments can fall as well as rise, and you may get back less than you invest. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Morning, 3 minutes after nine, Thursday the 29th of May. They want to change the school meal menu, but what are the changes they want to make? What's out and what's in? We'll give you all the details on that. Also talking to you about a new Global podcast, The Crisis Room, and you're going to be hearing from one of the contributors involved in that. It's a star-studded lineup. And we return to the story with which we started the show, the appalling incident in which a 92-year-old man suffering with dementia, he's one-legged as well, was tasered by two fairly healthy-looking police officers who have been cleared at a criminal trial. They still, I'm delighted to say, now face internal investigations within policing. Jodie Anderson is a casework who acted for the family for the 92-year-old victim. She told me...
A 92-year-old wheelchair user with one leg in a vulnerable state of crisis. I'm sorry, but the mealy-mouthed response to justifying this use of force is simply not acceptable.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
That really has lit the blue touch paper, that story. You are almost universally furious. Very difficult to find any voices in support of those police officers, and we'll turn to that in a moment. But I have mentioned this a couple of times, so let's come to it. And guidance urging schools to change the menus has been published. Children should eat meat at least three times a week should be overhauled. The idea they should have that much, so that they could increase their consumption of vegetables. This is the Food Foundation saying less meat, more veg. They also, the Food Foundation, found children eat proportionally more processed meat than adults. That's quite worrying. More than a third, 36% of meat eaten by children coming from processed meat. Oh, Lord. Sausages, ham and bacon. What are you doing feeding your children that? 29%, by the way, is the figure for adults. Oh, look, there's so many percentages. Let's just do the one last one. 80% of the most commonly eaten meat dishes in schools are either processed or red meat. And the Food Foundation says it has to stop. Do you ask your child or your children when they get back? Well, this is a classic one. I'm sure you get this. Hello, hi, how are you doing? Yes, I'm good. Yeah. What did you learn at school today? Nothing. Well, that's money well spent, isn't it? What did you learn yesterday? Nothing. Right, I wonder why I'm paying the fees, really, when you think about this. I could do this at home, pay myself. But what about, do you ever say, and I have to say I'm quite guilty, I don't know, I'm trying to think what they had for lunch. I remember what I had for lunch. It was slim pickings. I don't mean chicken. It was really slim, thin gruel, as I think they said, almost literally at my school. But what about the idea of changing the menu? Something I put to an environment minister. Emma Hardy is the Minister for Water and Flooding. I asked her what she made of the suggestion, not least as she had been a teacher.
I just think you have a healthy diet. I mean, I used to be a primary school teacher myself, and the school dinners that we served in the school I was at were really good, nutritious, healthy. And one of the things we're saying actually from DEFRA is we want to encourage 50% of the food that's cooked in schools and hospitals to come from local farmers so that we can support farmers and support the local economy. So I just think it's important that kids get a good, nutritious lunch. And it's also why we're introducing our free breakfast clubs, Nick, so they can not only get a nice lunch, but they can have a free breakfast as well.
Water and Flooding Minister Emma Hardy. Let's turn to journalist Rebecca Hardy, who specialises in health affairs and also writes about nutrition. So what menu would be the perfect menu in our schools, do you think, Rebecca? Good morning.
Oh, hi. Well, that's a really big question. I guess, just like Emma said, a healthy, balanced meal. But I think the most... I'm not ruling out meat, absolutely. Mm. But I do think the most... one of the concerning things about this report is that 80% of the meat is either processed or is red meat, which has been, I think the World Health Organization has said is carcinogenic and is linked with, you know, a high proportion of, well, a reasonably high proportion of, well, no, actually 13% of bowel cancer eating too much processed meat. So I do think it is important that we encourage our children to not eat so much processed meat. But I do think the most important thing really is that the menus, however they're changed, are, you know, done in a way that the kids eat them. Because I, when, from my experience, when they changed them to kind of introduce new healthy eating plans at primary school, my kids didn't like the food and kind of stopped eating them.
Right.
You know, it's so
I've got to ask you, Rebecca, because your children are going to be a lot younger than my children. What was it that your children did have at primary school, and what was that they changed it to, Rebecca?
Oh, gosh. Well, that's my kids are at secondary school now, so this is going back.
My kids are having kids, Rebecca, so I can assure you I can beat you on this one.
Well, I think, I can't really remember, to be honest.
Okay.
Definitely quite a lot of things that they really liked and that they changed them to do a new healthy version. And so, I think the issue is to make sure they're properly tested with the children.
Yeah.
And I know schools do that. They do have menu tasting sessions for both the parents and the kids.
Let me ask you this. If we look at our European friends and cousins, with a couple of exceptions, we have some of the unhealthiest school meals across the whole of Europe. There are a couple of outliers. But why do you suppose that is? Why are our children not being given healthier food? And what might the impact be?
Well, I think think it's probably economic, isn't it? It's probably a lot cheaper to give them a cheap processed food, which ultimately comes down to funding, I suppose, for schools. But I also think, you know, given the context that we do still have, you know, millions of kids in food poverty reliant on food banks, which is pretty disgusting, really. I think, you know, we have to kind of see it within the context that for some children, those meals that they're getting at school might be the only meal they get.
It's a pretty frightening thought. Rebecca Hardy, health journalist, thanks for your input on that. We're going to speak with a former head teacher in just a moment. I'm just trying to think. There's no point. I can't really call my children, so I don't know what they used to. If you've got a child at school and you happen to ask him, her, or twins, them, whatever it might be, what did you have for lunch? What is a typical school meal now? There's no point taking you back to my days, for God's sake. The Romans had only just left. But I tell you what my school meals did do. I hate tinned tomatoes. They used to serve tinned tomatoes as a vegetable at my school. Can you imagine it? So even when I make spaghetti bolognese, which is award-winning, by the way, and I can't give you the secret ingredient. I didn't give it to my last wife. I'm not going to give it to my next wife, so I'm certainly not going to give it to you. But it is an award. I got it from my late grandfather. He was a restaurateur. His spaghetti bolognese was the finest in Simeone. Where the hell's Simeone? It's the Italian part of Switzerland. What more do you need to know? He's a restaurateur. It was the finest. But I can't tell you what's... But it put me off tinned tomatoes for life. I just have to... But I do use them when I just throw them straight in the pot. I can't even look at them, mix them up. And I hope to get them chopped. I can't, you know, chop. So that's all I can remember. And suet pudding. Look what it did to me. And spotted dick. What do you... I mean, the school wasn't known for its culinary arts. So what constitutes... I know a man who'll know. Jonathan Forster is educational consultant at the Good School Guide and was head of Moreton Hall, high-achieving independent school, and joins me now. Morning, Mr. Forster. Morning, head. What was typically on the menu at lunchtime at the school when you were running it? Good morning.
Morning. Well, I'm really keen on food, and just like you, I had terrible school food, so I made sure that we had lots of fresh fruit, veg, fantastic salads, meat Brilliant. Choices, yes, and vegetarian options as well. So something for everybody, that was the key.
Remind me, Jonathan, Moreton Hall, primary, secondary, all the way through, what is it?
All the way through from 6 months to 18 years.
And how did it go down? Lots of salads, lots of tomatoes, lots of bananas and pears. Did the kiddies like it?
Yeah, they loved it. They loved it. I mean, it was expensive. And it was, remember, it's a private school, so yep. Somebody was paying for it. But it was a key part of what we did, because the students loved the food, the staff loved the school, the food,
yep.
And it kept everybody happy, that's for sure.
Well, we're talking about the Food Foundation here, Jonathan, and that would be for all schools, of course, state schools as well.
Yep.
But, I mean, it is quite alarming, sir. 80% of the most commonly eat dishes in schools have processed or red meat. Now, that's an alarm bell ringing in my mind, Jonathan.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, I have just quickly read the report, and the thing that, you know, sticks out to me is that a lot of these children come from families where perhaps for one reason or another, and I'm sure you can debate this, they're not able to have the food that they should have at home. So what they have at school is going to be doubly important.
Mm.
And I think if they're eating processed foods, you know, the knock-on effect is going to be fairly significant, as your previous speaker said.
I appreciate you probably weren't in the kitchen, but the facts, the figures probably crossed your desk. Is it markedly more expensive to provide a little more chicken, a little more fish than, I know we don't have them anymore, but, you know, a dozen turkey Twizzlers?
I mean, we were able to do really good food at an affordable price. But whichever way you look at it, if you're running an independent private school, then the quality of what you do is really important, and you will spend a bit more. And I have every sympathy with colleagues in the state sector, because their budgets are so tight, teachers' wages are going up again. That's probably a good thing. But the fact of the matter is that the schools have to balance the budget. And if parents at home don't have the time or indeed the knowledge to cook decent meals, then it's doubly important that the kids have really good food at school.
Thanks for your time this morning. Jonathan Forster, educational consultant at the Good Schools Guide, and you were head of Moreton Hall, one of the country's high-achieving independent schools. Now over to you, possibly for your memories of your own school lunches. I genuinely think some of the food that was served up at the schools, I don't think they'd be allowed to do it now. And we all remember the successful campaign waged by Jamie Oliver and the outlawing of turkey Twizzlers, which, if you want to go to a shop and buy turkey Twizzlers, go ahead, but it's not really what you want to be giving your children. And surely the idea of more fruit and more veg is a good one, particularly when you take into account the fact, as has been put forward by both my contributors there, that sadly, in some instances, this is the only decent size meal, square meal, as it used to be called, square meal, that child is going to get all day. Possibly no breakfast at all, although we must say this government is in the business of providing breakfast clubs, we need to put that out there. And possibly nothing when they get home. So your memories of your school lunch. But if you've got a child at school now, that would be jolly helpful. We are coming back to, so far on my show, the story of the day, which is that, I would argue, unwarranted taser and pepper spray attack on the 92-year-old. That's also coming up. We'll return to that. It's 9.15, LBC News headlines. Thomas Watts.
The White House says it will appeal against a block on Donald Trump's trade tariffs. Ministers have moved to fast-track the construction of two reservoirs in Lincolnshire and Cambridgeshire. And figures seen by LBC show a big rise in the number of children found with knives at school. LBC weather. Cloudy with patchy rain for many places. A high of 23 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. There are delays on the M2 westbound up to Junction 2 at the A228, and that's because of the emergency repair works. And also the problems on the M25 continue clockwise. It's very slow to Junction 16 at the M40 after that lorry broke down earlier. In Beckenham, South End Lane is closed in both directions, so that's causing delays. And still no Woolwich Ferry. The services are suspended, and that's all down to a technical problem. On the Underground, there are minor delays on the Piccadilly line between Cockfosters and King's Cross. That's all down to a signal failure. And also on the Underground, there are minor delays on the Central Line. And also on the Central Line, westbound trains still can't stop at Roding Valley Station.
This is LBC.
How do you grow a perfectly sweet strawberry? Well, it takes more than just soil and water, but time, care, and the best conditions to flourish. At Tesco, we keep every strawberry warm during the day and cold during the night, to ensure they develop the sweetest flavour. Mm. It may seem like a little thing, but to us, it's everything. Now, if you don't mind, the strawberries are sleeping. Tesco. Every little helps.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
Looking for a fixed passive income backed by real demand? With ulezprosperity.com, you buy the car, we rent it from you for a set period. You stay the legal owner and we pay you up to £600 per month in fixed rental income. No hassle, no maintenance, no tenants. It's a straightforward asset-backed rental agreement. Visit ulezprosperity.com for conditions and to learn more. That's ulezprosperity.com. Simple, steady, secure.
Big, big, big motoring world.
Wow, wow,
wow motoring world.
Yes, that's right. Big Motoring World is also Wow Motoring World because we price check our cars every day to guarantee you our best price, with up to 95% of them below market value. Big Motoring World. We're big on what matters to you. See website for nearest store. Visit bigmotoringworld.co.uk or one of our stores for our price promise and terms and conditions.
Amazon offers term time working to their employees, like Anton, who's home to look after his daughters during their holidays.
Hello!
To him, this is the best sound in the world. Actually, maybe that's the best sound of all. Now that's term time working. Offered at Amazon. 10 weeks off guaranteed per year. Mix of paid holiday and unpaid time off. Conditions apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
I've been asking whether you can fill me with a child's school menu, and I'm very grateful. James is in Queensferry. Is that in Wales, James? Is that right? Good morning.
Yeah, it's just across the border from Chester in North Wales, yeah.
Okay. So are you near somewhere called Dolgellau?
That's about 35 minutes, 40 minutes away.
So I had an aunt so I know that. That's a beautiful part of the world. So I used to go to Dolgellau quite regularly. Okay, you very kindly have looked at a child's school menu. Who are we talking about? How old is the child?
She's 13. She's my daughter. She goes to a high school a couple of miles away.
Okay.
So basically they get a choice of a couple of options, but it's very limited.
Do you happen to know what she had yesterday or what she's having today or last week?
She's on half term at the minute, because all the school dinners and everything's now on an app.
Right.
You get to see every day what they've ordered.
Oh, right. Come on then, read us the app. What's on the menu next week or was on last week? How are we going to do this?
So if we go for last week, she would have had a piece of toast in the morning.
Right.
A bottle of water, and then she might have had a cookie in the afternoon if she didn't like anything for that day. But the general food that she's having is something called a pittini, which I believe is pizza sauce on a...
Just say that word again. A pittini, did you say?
Pittini, as in pizza, but...
With tiny on the end. Is that right?
Yeah.
I've never seen that before. So that is a mini pizza, is it?
Yeah, and then the other type of thing is she has...
So she has a piece of toast and a glass of a bottle of water in the morning, then a pizzatini or whatever it is at lunch, and then a cookie in the afternoon.
Yeah, and then like another day it's chicken nuggets and chips. That's another day. But then one day she had a pasta salad.
Ah, a bit more like it. Right.
But yeah, in general it is all very processed food.
Okay, right. You're the dad. Does that bother you? Does she like it? Does she say, "Oh, I wish there was food like you cook or mum cooks or whatever"? What does she say?
Like most days she doesn't have a main meal because she doesn't like what's there. She doesn't like the taste of a lot of the stuff that's there.
Well, that's bad, isn't it? Poor kid.
They do a chicken curry apparently, and apparently it's awful.
And do all her friends and the other mums and dads say, "Oh, the food ain't great at this school, James"?
Yeah, it's a very similar across the board. But like, I mean, you don't have much choice. You've just got to trust the kid. They get the choice when they're there.
Lastly, this organisation, charity really, Food Foundation, if it was shown that for the same sort of money we could provide your daughter with the choice of, I don't know, perhaps a bit of fish or chicken or a decent salad, I think, James, that would make sense, wouldn't it? We need to feed our children in a better fashion, better way.
Yeah, I would totally agree, yeah.
All right, look after her. Thanks for reading off the menu. Appreciate it. Dan says, my son is in primary school year one in Leicestershire. Oh, here we go. They're served chicken nuggets with chips, beans, hot dogs, pizza. In fact, I'll send you the local school menu. If you have time, I'd like that. Thank you. CJ, you don't say where you are. My children get chocolate spread on toast for breakfast. That can't... That there's no way that's healthy, is it? Mary's in Slough. Hello, Mary. What's the food for your child or your children's school? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you. So they're at Eton End, which is in Datchet. It's a private school. And
so that's not Eton. That's near to Eton, obviously.
Yeah, near to Eton. It's Eton End. It's a primary school. So
right.
It goes from sort of nursery to the age of year six.
Right.
As part of the salad, you weren't allowed cucumber until you got to year six.
Hang on, slow down. You're not allowed cucumber until you get to year six?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. And so I had a child in the younger year.
This is one of life's great mysteries, isn't it?
And I had a child in the year six. And that if I hadn't had children in the two different years, I wouldn't have realised, because obviously they came home, they had a discussion, and I actually went back and I had this conversation with the school, and I got nowhere.
About cucumbers?
And yes, as part of the salad. So the salad was already very, very basic, and you weren't allowed a second helping. You were only given.
So I mean, salad is pretty basic at the best time. So what the salad comprised of lettuce?
Yeah,
and
a bit of tomato.
A bit of tomato.
And some cut peppers.
And that's it?
Yeah. But the older children were allowed to have a cucumber. And so when I spoke to the school, I actually offered to bring in 10 cucumbers a day. So that, because it was it wasn't a very big school.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think it was just shocking that we just couldn't get around that issue. I had to accept the fact that that was their... they're working rules for the lunches, and we just have to live with it.
Cucumber is effectively banned at your child's school until you reach, what, 10, 9, 10, 10, age of 10, is it?
No, year 6 is just before they do the 11 plus.
Yeah, so year 10, until you're age 10. I'm sorry, did I say year 10? I meant age 10. So until you're 10, you're not allowed any cucumber at this school. That just sounds weird.
Yeah.
And do your children like cucumber?
Yeah, they absolutely love salads, because we have a lot of salads at home. And for morning, if you send the child in early morning and you pay for that service, they then get pinwheels. And I think that's bread cut with into sort of circles with some chocolate spread on it.
Okay.
But that used to excite them. But, I mean, everything in private schools, you do pay for it. And that's a reason why you want to invest in the school, because you're hoping that they invest in your child, not just in the education side of things, but the pastoral care as well.
Totally agree with you. Mary, thank you. Come to more calls. Davy Hudson, I remember my mind being blown when my daughter told me she had a salad bar. I'd have loved a salad bar at school. Paul in Carefilly, my daughter's menu isn't too bad. There's processed food, but also some better stuff. Oh, if you can, just give me a little bit more. Thank you for that, but a little more illustration would help. A lot of you, I mean, yeah, cucumber gate is what Rob's calling it. It seems very, very weird that children aren't allowed that. Last, before I come to you, Chris, Steve in Lancashire, look at Japan's school meal model. Incredibly impressive. And we should have a similar one here. Sushi, I imagine. A lot of sushi. Sushi on the menu. Chris is in Winnersh, the great Winnersh Triangle. Good morning, Chris. You're on the radio. What are you going to tell me?
Good morning, Nick. Just want to say...
How is the triangle today? The Winnersh Triangle. Is it all right?
It's okay, yeah, it's still there, but don't drive into it unless you want to disappear, but it's fine, thank you very much.
I always think when I'm at Waterloo, they talk about the Winnersh Triangle.
Yes.
Yeah, we lost six trains this week in the Winnersh Triangle. Never saw them again. Sorry, the point you want to make about food.
That's okay, it's from two points of view, really. I've got a daughter that's 13 and actually goes to school, so I know what she eats and what she doesn't like. And secondly, I was a chef for 26 years and have worked in a kitchen. So,
right, okay. So did you work in a restaurant, in a school, in a hotel?
I've done all of it. I've done restaurants, hotels, but I have worked in a school and nursery. And from that point of view, it does come down to budget. Sort of, I know that I can provide sort of food for sort of, I don't know, 100 people for a very cheap price because that's what I've got to spend, whether that might be cottage pie, lasagna.
Yep.
But the minute that I have to use, say, chicken breast or fresh produce rather than frozen processed, the budget, it's very hard to achieve that. And you get a lot of wastage because you try to put on nice things, and a lot of the kids, especially sort of between the ages of, I don't know, 12 and 16, they are picking up just those snacks. They want wraps, they want cookies, they want these different things. You put out really good things, you know, I'm quite imaginative with menus, but they just don't want it.
Is there a difference between girls and boys? I went to an all-boys school, and I was, unbelievably, I got in the rugby team, and honestly, as long as it was chips with it, we couldn't care less. I would imagine now people are far more health conscious of the girls particularly, or is that just stereotyping everyone, Chris?
No, it's true. It's very true. My daughter says that quite a lot. I mean, her and her friends will often not get food. They like to spend a lot of time walking around the playground, obviously on their phones, which they're not supposed to have, and I hope she hasn't got hers out right now. But yeah, they will do that, whereas the boys sort of like, they like to get in there, they like to get something inside them, then go and kick the ball around. So that might sound stereotypical, but that is true, that is what happens. So I think it's just a combination of things. The youngsters do not want to eat a lot of healthy food, because they get it when they go home often, where their parents are making them eat it.
Let me ask you,
and then it's a cost thing, you know, it's the same in a hospital.
So you were chefing for many years. Did you enjoy it? Do you do it now?
No, unfortunately, I lost my eyesight a few years ago, so I can't do it anymore. Okay. I loved it. Absolutely loved the job.
When you were chefing,
yes.
If Gordon Ramsay has suddenly walked into your kitchen and started hurling abuse at you, chef, what do you call? How would you have you ever seen that show? He's so rude.
I've met a lot of famous chefs because I've worked in some really prestigious places, so I've been fortunate there. So I would have, if someone like him walked in, I would just look at him, smile and say, how you doing, Gordon?
Right.
Because I've worked my way up and I've done jobs where I've started from the bottom, had pans thrown at me and all kinds of stuff like
and
that.
And that's just accepted in kitchens, is it? You're going to have stuff thrown at you. There's no point
crying off to... Yeah, it doesn't happen so much anymore. Because,
human remains, you know, whatever. It's human resources.
Rights. So people would, you know, take you to court if somebody threw a pan at you and all that these days. But back in the day when I was sort of learning...
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you'd take a saucepan on the side of the head because you turned the broccoli to mashed potato. Do you know what I mean? So,
oh my goodness, look after yourself. Thank you, Chris. Matt in Beverley, very kindly, you've actually sent your child's menu for the first week after half term. Let me just pick at random, not least because my here we go. Wednesday, roast chicken with mashed potatoes, choice of four vegetables or the salad bar, jacket potato with various fillings, selection of wraps, shortcake and custard or homemade fresh fruit salad or yoghurt. I don't get that at the Ivy. It looks fantastic. Rika's in Harrow. You're on the radio, Rika. What are you going to tell me? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I'm a first-time caller, but a very long-time listener.
God, you phoned me at last. How long has it taken you, Rika?
I got through last year on a different subject, but we ran out of time.
Uh-oh, good to have you on. Come on, talk to me about school meals.
I'm just offering a different perspective. My husband is in the catering industry and he works for a large company because a lot of schools outsource their catering to companies.
Okay. Yep.
And that brings a whole host of issues aside from the quality of the food. And some of the things that he has told me, so I won't name names in companies, but is a lot of the staff don't speak English. Right. So how are you supposed to instruct staff on how to cook things?
Right.
A lot are not qualified. They're agency staff, and they'll come through, yep, they're a chef, and then he says they don't know
clearly
how to chop fruit properly.
Dear, right.
They're being paid minimum wage, and, you know, when you're paying minimum wage, you won't get a high-caliber staff member in terms of chefing. So there's a high turnover of staff as well. So there's this inconsistency in the kitchen constantly. And then the biggest one is suppliers. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you'll get lots ringing up defending themselves. But an example he gave me is a box of cucumbers, let's say they're 12, 15 quid.
Uh-huh.
The suppliers will often triple or quadruple that cost to the school. Now, the schools have a budget of about, the ones that he worked in, we're in sort of Wembley Harrow area, of about £1 per child.
Lord.
For the day.
Wow, that's not going to buy a lot, is it?
No, so how is he supposed to provide a nutritious meal with £1 with that budget?
So what sort of things does he provide, Rika?
Well, let me give you an example of what they buy in. So everything's frozen usually as well.
Right.
You know, fish fingers, chips and things like that. And I'm only talking about my area. It will vary countrywide and, you know, company to company. But when he went into the schools, he would not use the frozen stuff and order in fresh produce and make it fresh. So things like breakfast, he would do breakfast wraps.
Right.
And he would put egg in it and cheese in it. So he'll do a veggie option and a meat option.
And lastly, I've got to go to Newsbreaker, but I want to ask you this. Does he say that some of the children are quite picky, or do they effectively eat what's put in front of them, as they did in my day?
They're very picky, but they have very limited choice.
Right. Give him my best. Great to have you on again, Rika. I'm sorry, I'm already late to the news, but I have enjoyed our conversation. Look after yourself. Coming up after news, more. We go more into the food menus, school menus, and we come back to arguably the story of the day, the Sussex police officers who disgraced themselves, the treatment of a 92-year-old one-legged man. It is 9:31. Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrara, on LBC News Time. Thomas Watts.
Financial markets have rallied this morning after a US court moved to block Donald Trump's trade tariffs. Judges in New York have ruled that Mr. Trump overstepped his authority when he brought in the levies last month. Data seen by LBC show a steep increase in children being caught with knives in schools. There were more than 2,300 cases in the last full school year. That's a rise of 60% over 2 years. Britain is to set up a new cyber command centre to counter an intensifying level of warfare. There have been some 90,000 cyber attacks from state-linked sources directed at Britain over the last 2 years. LBC weather, cloudy with patchy rain for many places, sunny spells developing in central and eastern areas. A high of 23 degrees.
This is LBC.
Car owners, you could be owed thousands in compensation. If you bought a car on finance from 2007 onwards, it may have been sold with hidden commissions. My claim group is working hard to help. So, even if you've forgotten your details, make sure you check. Text CLAIM to 86688. My claim group is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Text CLAIM to 86688.
Claims made simple.
Ready, steady, the Toyotathon sale event is on!
Race down to your nearest Toyota centre and save up to an extra £1,000 on a new Toyota. But hurry, deals must end 31st of May. The Toyotathon sale event is on! Offer valid on eligible new vehicle orders 1st to 31st of May and registered by 31st of July 2025. Retail customers only. T&Cs apply. See toyota.co.uk for details.
Imagine your dream holiday made possible by comparing cheap flights on Kayak, walking on an unspoilt goes-on for miles beach on the Sardinian coast, plunging into the splendour of an idyllic lagoon in Greece. Ah, yes. This is the life. All you have to do is actually book it. Don't holidays. Use Kayak to compare prices from hundreds of travel sites and airlines to find your dream deal. Search Kayak and go see for yourself.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 60 60 973.
Let's come away from the classroom and tell you about a brand new global podcast which launches later today. It's called The Crisis Room. It features journalist and author Mark Urban, decorated former CIA officer Mark Polyrompoulos, if I've said it anywhere close to getting that right, and someone from whom you'll hear in a moment, former Home Secretary Amber Rudd. Here they are, in action.
The point is about reactions to any attacks is that it's generally fueled by misinformation or conspiracy theories. And what she's done is dealt with that immediately. I think a lot of people were surprised that she chose to set out his ethnicity as though that was a kind of key factor. But I think she must have learned, or the force must have learned, from the fact that in previous terror attacks, sometimes it had to be guessed. And that meant that the conspiracies, which are always, almost always worse than the facts, got carried away.
That's Amber Rudd. You'll hear from Amber in just a second. Now, this will be available on Global Player in time for your journey home later today. Obviously, discussing events in Liverpool. You'll also hear the latest on Ukraine, whether Europe should be doing more to support the country in light of Donald Trump. He features in everything, doesn't he? Attitude to the conflict. But let's talk a little bit more about that. You heard the reaction there to how Merseyside police changed. Amber Rudd joins me now. Well, Mark Rowley, the commissioner of the Met, someone you'll obviously know well, says it's the right way forward. Do you concur? Morning, Amber.
I do. Good morning, Nick. I think it's inevitable. Everybody has camera phones. Everybody reacts quickly because of social media. And I think the force have learnt that they've got to get out as much information as they can early on in order to head off all the conspiracies. And so I think they were right to do it. And I expect it will happen pretty much every time. Let's hope there aren't too many when these sort of events take place.
Although it's worth noting, Amber, this is, and of course there are no charges, but the person who's being questioned is a 53-year-old white man, an accomplice believed to be a company director. What happens if it's a 27-year-old black Muslim or something like that? Are we going to be causing issues and tensions there, Amber?
I think it's inevitable that this has changed the way that policing will report events and on with the perpetrators. So I think that they have set a standard now, and whatever happens next, they're going to have to report in the same basis that they've reported for this one. I think that they have a responsibility to try and get ahead of it, and they've shown that they can in this one, and it would be madness not to do it for the next ones, because otherwise you feel a different sort of conspiracy altogether.
Let's talk about the crisis room. What are listeners going to hear when they get the Global Podcast? Amber.
Thank you, Nick. Well, we think we've got something quite different. I'm a former Home Secretary, as you know. We've got a former intelligence officer from the CEI and a really great foreign journalist, Mark Urban. And the three of us have had experience inside understanding how governments or how forces or how agencies handle particular crises. And aren't there a lot to go around now? What we're going to be doing each week is looking at a particular crisis, giving our views, giving our insights. So it's not so much a chat show, but something different, something showing that we are helping the listeners understand the particular crisis of the day. I hope that they're going to enjoy it as much as we've enjoyed getting ready for it.
Well, of course, reminded by listeners, Amber, you were Home Secretary. There was no shortage of crises on your watch. You had, as I recall, you had the Salisbury poisoning. You had, I think, a number of terror attacks. You had Boris Johnson. You had just about every crisis you can imagine, Amber.
And that is the last one is the one I didn't love.
You're still recovering.
You're right, 2017 was a terrible year for the UK. We were under assault, basically, is what it felt like. Series of really violent terror attacks, mass casualties, and it was horrific, really. But, the good offices of the UK, and I like to think I played my part there, and Mark Rowley, of course, because he was head of counterterrorism at the time. We got a grip on it, and we managed to slow it down. Not stop it, but slow it down. And then in 2018, we had the Skripal poisoning in Salisbury, which was particularly horrific. The idea of Russians poisoning in Salisbury, in our country, and in a way that could have caused even greater damage. So, yeah, I have some experience of these crises. And to be frank, Nick, I have enormous respect for the way the UK has managed to handle us. But it's not enough on our own. We had to work internationally, globally, work with the Americans, work with the EU. And that's what you have to do in response to terror.
All right. Lastly, let's talk about the crisis room crew. I feel like I'm speaking to you about old Ford Escorts. Do you prefer Mark 1 or Mark 2? That's Mark Urban or Mark Polyramopoulos.
Frankly, Nick, I wanted to call it Amber and her marksman.
Ah, oh, now that's... Don't tell me one of the people putting it together didn't agree with that, dissuaded you of that.
For some reason, they didn't want to put me entirely at the centre of this. What can I say?
They're great blokes. They contribute well to it all.
They're great blokes. They know each other well. And it's particularly interesting having the experience of Mark Polymeropoulos.
I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Having been a CIA intelligence officer, it's great to get his insight on the inside. We're all learning from each other because you don't really sit together when there is a crisis. You're trying to ignore the journalists when you're trying to handle a crisis, and the intelligence officers have to deal very carefully with politicians. So the three of us is quite different.
Fantastic.
And they're both ordinary characters with great contributions to make.
Amber Rudd, a woman who never misses her mark. She'll get that. Former Home Secretary and one of the hosts of the new global podcast, The Crisis Room. First episode out for your drive home, or possibly your drive to work, whatever you do, later today. Let's come back to the story with which we started the show, and take your respective sides, if you would. In the blue corner, two police officers, one of whom is a gentleman 51, quite a big-built guy, another a woman of 36. He's armed with a parva or pepper spray and an extendable asp or nightstick. She's got a taser. They've both got stab vests. In the other corner is a 92-year-old one-legged man confined to a wheelchair with dementia. Oh, he's got a 4-inch butter knife without a serrated edge. Here's what happened next.
Pop it down for me, on the floor. Pop it on the floor. Pop it on the floor.
There's not many more.
As enough as, as many as we need. Put the knife on the floor now, or you'll be sprayed. Fish towels. Put it down. Put it down. Donald, put it down.
Seriously?
Last chance.
Can you just hold that door? I can't get a good angle.
Donald, put it down. Put it down now. Come on.
Last chance.
Right. Put it down. Drop the knife. Drop the knife. Put it on the floor.
Do it now. Drop the knife.
Donald, drop the knife.
Donald.
Put it down. Put it down. Put it down!
Taser!
That's brave, isn't it? 92-year-old man, two police officers, four legs between them, he's got one. On earth did it ever end like that, the wrong arm of the law. By the way, those officers spent all of 83 seconds entering the room. No questions after the medical staff. So what is it with Mr. Burgess? What's the problem with him? No, just go in, drop it, and then we'll taser you. A day of shame for the police, and I normally support the police. Tim's in Gateshead. Tim, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Pleasure to speak to you.
Good to have you on, sir. What are you going to tell me about that?
Well, I just think it's funny that, and I think a lot of people have said it before, that this guy's 90 years old,
yep.
One legs.
Yeah.
You know, what was the reason that the police were called? What was the threat? If everybody says there's no threat, what was the threat? And is this another reason why the police shouldn't be being sent to mental health cases and things like that?
The call was what's rated a grade one call. That means that there is a threat of imminent danger. And the police have been told a resident had a knife and was displaying threatening behaviour to the staff. They were also told prior to arrival the man had dementia. So that's what they go in knowing. And then you heard... By the way, it is on the LBC app, but it's very distressing, so you can see what happens next. Back to you, Tim.
I don't condone what the police have done at all here. I think it's absolutely horrendous what they've done. But, you know, I suppose it's just, where is the failing? Is it what the information has been taken and transferred to them? But ultimately it falls to them because they've acted in the wrong way. But I think that handling of the situation, and a lot of the time the police are being sent to issues that really they're not, there's the support staff of the care home and things like that that have a huge, more information of the backstory of this guy and should be able to deal with him. If it's a case where they say, look, hang on a minute, this guy isn't really a threat, you know, as care home operators, you're better trained to de-escalate the situation first. And if it gets worse, then we are here. But you should be, there should be some, what was the intervention from the care home before it was just, oh, quick, let's call the police.
The care home is called Park Beck. It's owned by Regal Care Trading, and they have declined to comment. Take from that what you will. Tim, thank you. Ed's in Hounslow. Ed, your reaction to this. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, this is a terrible situation. It's a salutary lesson to all of your listeners to something that I've known for a long, long time.
Well, what is it that you've known for a long, long time?
Well, then, when dealing with the police, don't ever try to butter them up, to be direct with them. So this is an appalling situation. And, you know, I'm only surprised that they didn't sort of stand back and wait for CO19 or something.
Well, yeah, they didn't scramble the helicopter. It was probably busy chasing someone else, some other pension.
I imagine you can recall your colleague, John Stalker. What would he have to say about it?
Yes, the former. Well, he's not my colleague. You refer, of course, to the former, senior Greater Manchester police officer. Well, he'd be appalled. All senior officers. It's very difficult to find anyone who offers any form of defence on this. Ed, when you say, I mean, all he should have done was drop the knife. Of course, let's be fair. If he dropped the knife, we wouldn't have had this situation.
Well, of course, as you say, he was unwell and so on. You know, but just if I could make one point, John Stalker, you may not remember, he was an LBC presenter as well.
Sorry. I thought when you said that I'd worked with him, I'm so sorry. He was on the roster here, was he? I see. Okay.
Yes. And so I'm sure he has something to say about this. And your caller, Bill, who came on earlier on, there are some good coppers, but there are some awful ones.
There are. But the same could be said about just about any trade you like, including broadcasting. Ed, thank you. More calls on this. We might try and go back to the school menus as well. So many of you, very kindly. Here's another one from Mike in Newark. Here's my daughter's meals for next week. She loves the school lunches. Well, here we are on Monday. Your daughter, jacket potato with a choice of spinach and chickpea, bolognese, baked beans, cheese, tuna mayo, served with chopped salad and American pancakes. That's Monday's lunch. That's not horrible. We might get back to that. 9:45, LBC News headlines. Thomas Watts.
The White House says it will appeal a block on Donald Trump's trade tariffs. Figures seen by LBC show a significant rise in the number of children being caught with knives in schools. And the government's announced plans to fast-track the construction of two reservoirs in the east of England. LBC weather, cloudy with patchy rain for many places, a high of 23 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays continue on the M2 westbound to Junction 2 at the A228. It's for those emergency repair works. Very busy in Beckenham. South End Lane remains closed both ways and there are delays on the North Circular Road westbound to Waterworks Corner. A car's broken down and it's slow from the M11. Very busy in the area around Battersea Bridge and also Albert Bridge because Albert Bridge itself is closed in both directions for those ongoing works. In Marylebone, there are delays on the Marylebone Road westbound heading towards Baker Street. It's because a large parade of horses has just gone through the area under police escorts. That's very busy in the area. And on the underground, there are minor delays on the Central and also on the Piccadilly line.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
There was unprecedented public support for junior doctors last time they went on strike. Will there be next time?
James O'Brien on LBC.
As you fan yourself with the menu, you ponder why you went for the vindaloo. Every wave of the specials ruffles the delicate ruffles of your red ruffled top. And as water runs down your chin, the waitress stares on. She just can't take her eyes off you. The masterpiece in the flowing scarlet skirt.
Enjoying your meal?
So much.
No sweat. Whatever happens, style it out. F&F.
This is LBC. Listen on Global Player or the new LBC app. Download it from your App Store now.
This is what award-winning customer service sounds like from Real Octopus Energy Calls.
I've dealt with many utility companies for many years across several properties, and Octopus are an absolute breath of fresh air.
Octopus Energy, great value and outstanding customer service, recommended by Which? 8 years running.
Search Kayak for great deals on Wait, that doesn't say flights. Search Kayak for great deals on car hire. With Kayak, you can compare hundreds of car rental sites to find great deals. Even better, you see costs up front. And if it's flexibility you're after, Kayak's got a handy free cancellation filter. Lovely stuff. So next time you're searching for car hire, at home or for your holes, search Kayak and go see for yourself.
At Wickes, save on Dulux Standard 2.5-litre coloured emulsion. Was £23, now £15. Feel as proud as a peacock with Wickes. Ends Wednesday. Terms apply.
With Little Plus Fruity Super Spin, simply shop and spin to win a free fresh fruit coupon with every shop. Download the Little Plus app to get by switching to the Retail Industry Awards Fresh Produce Retailer of the Year. 18 plus GB residents, various prizes available, subject to availability. Ends 4th of the 6th, 25. Full T's and C's apply. See little.co.uk/spin.
Car owners, you could be owed thousands in compensation. If you bought a car on finance from 2007 onwards, it may have been sold with hidden commissions. My claim group is working hard to help. So, even if you've forgotten your details, make sure you check. Text CLAIM to 86688. My claim group is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Text CLAIM to 86688.
Claims made simple.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running. Octopus Energy.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Coming back to you, Shane, on that taser story. Bella says we have the wrong people employed in the police service. The 92-year-old was obviously processing the situation slowly, and with dementia types, his officers acting in a totally inappropriate manner. Well, I can only imagine that if you have dementia or you're dealing with dementia, the last thing you do is shout at the person. It's not going to get you any. They don't know. They just don't. They're not operating on a rational level. Elaine says, I've just watched that elderly gentleman get tasered and pepper sprayed. It's so upsetting. What were they thinking? I can't believe they got away with it. Well, they have as regards criminal prosecution. Of course, they will now face an internal investigation. And I've said before, you would look at it, we've seen prima facie evidence. They can't continue as police officers, can they? Shane's in Edinburgh. Shane, your reaction to this story. Good morning.
I must say I agree with you. I don't think they can continue as police officers, and I hope they suffer the full rigour of disciplinary action. I really do. I know they're going to be disciplined, but I've listened this morning on LBC to Peter Blexley, a former Metropolitan Police officer and a former detective inspector on your programme, all sort of doing the mealy-mouthed and not condemning the police officers. They all stick together, they band together in the police, but where I'm concerned, I don't know how the jury arrived at that decision.
And really quickly, Shane, two hours.
It's absolutely amazing. Exactly. I don't know. If I'd been serving on that jury and returned that verdict, I don't think I'd be able to sleep at
night. Well, I'd still be there, mate. I'd still be in the jury room.
I'd have created a fuss in there as well. The situation is that when you've got someone with dementia, they don't process information the way most of us do.
No.
And there's all sorts of things that could have been done. It's been suggested by a former copper that phoned up your programme earlier, said they could have got behind him and the burly one would have been able to disable him with that, or thrown a blanket over his arm. There's all sorts of things that could have been done. That woman copper was far too taser trigger happy, and I'm appalled. What next year? You and I walk down the street, we display some sort of unusual mental health behaviour and we tase it. I mean, it's absolutely outrageous.
What do you take from her comment to one of the care home staff? Can you hold the door so I can get a good angle?
For once, and it's not often, I'm speechless.
Right. Shane, we have spoken before. It's not often, so I'll let you continue to be speechless and bring someone else into the conversation. I can hear the... Well, it's a mix of anger and frustration, I think, on Shane's voice there. Dean's in Newcastle-under-Lyme. You're on the radio. Dean, sadly, this has resonances for your dad. Is that right?
Oh, that's right, Nick, yes. It's 15 years ago now. Nothing had happened to that gentleman, but the police were called. My dad was 89, had vascular dementia.
Right.
He was in a respite at home because his flat got flooded, and that's another story anyway. Mm. But basically... he's 5'7", he's dementia confused. He's in another patient's room, it wouldn't get out, and he bared his fists to the air staff, and he called the police.
Apparently, with vascular dementia, people can, they don't even know they're doing it, but they can become quite aggressive at times, can't they?
Yes, it was. It was acting out. He's never like that. My father worked all his life. He was in the Second World War.
Oh, bless him.
He's law-abiding citizen. He definitely right. He's actually aggressive. You know, anybody who deals with dementia people, it's an horrible, horrible disease. It's not them speaking. They're confused, they're scared and paranoid. it was horrible. I got called at work. I asked my wife to come to the care home. She's been called. We'd arrived at the care home. It hadn't gone to what that gentleman had gone through, but the police had called. One of the care staff said when the police turned up, they sort of had powered over him, but they were professional, unlike the other two. And my dad goes, "Oh, have I done something wrong?" And he was all cowed, you know.
Yeah.
I don't blame the care staff. I blame the owners and the training, and they're underpaid for doing that sort of thing.
Sure. Yeah.
But you know what? The lady, I'm not going to mention her name, but the lady who ran the care home said to me, "Oh, have you been in trouble with the police before?" I had to button my lip. I was so angry.
How old was your dad? He was 80. What did you say your dad was?
89 he was.
89, suffering with vascular dementia. Have you been in trouble with the police before?
Yeah, had he been in trouble with the police? No, my father was in the war. He'd worked all his life. He paid his taxes, done everything else. He's acting out. He's got dementia. You're meant to be dementia trained. What a disgusting thing to say.
I'm sorry. It is. It's indefensible on all levels. Dean, sorry, and it's obviously triggered some unhappy memories. Have as good a day as you can, thinking about your dad. Helen's in Coulston. Helen, what went wrong and why in this, would you say? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. First-time caller to you, and a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you.
Love you to bits.
Oh, and you too.
Thank you. Right, I'm on a bit of a roll here, Rick. Nick, sorry. Okay. Rick.
That's all right.
I do beg your pardon.
Not at all, Daisy.
My apologies. That's fine. That's quite a nice name, actually.
Right,
my nickname's Nelly, which I love.
Nelly? Nelly Dean. I love Nelly.
Yes.
Come on,
it,
Helen.
Yes.
What's the point you're going to make?
Right, here we go.
Come on, Treacle.
Okay. The police should have been called, but in private, they should have spoken. They should have been met by the manager.
Yep.
Summoned a few of the staff.
Yep.
Got the full SP on this gentleman.
Yep.
Now, was this behaviour normal? Was
yep.
this out of character? What is going on with this gentleman? At that point, there's obviously something not quite right. Now, we all know that a urinary tract infection can cause all sorts of things. At that point, get on to the GP that services that home. If he cannot come quickly, call an ambulance, have them on standby outside.
The ambulance crew aren't going to come in all the time the man's holding a knife. We've got to get the knife
outside,
out of this gentleman's hands.
Outside the building, waiting.
Mm. Yeah.
Right, because this man needs to be assessed to see if he is unwell as well. Okay?
You know what I would
They take their hats off or take whatever's
yep.
like heavy artillery that they have on,
fabulous.
Grab a couple of chairs or sit on the end of the bed and say, "Well, hello, my name's so-and-so.
That's exactly right.
Blah, blah, blah. What's your name? Now, what's going on, darling?" Talk him down. Talk him down gently. Take time. Take him
and
back. Now, what did you used to do?
And I think the key there is, because I remember when I used to discipline my children, you get on the same level as them. I mean, the same physical. Mm. Because if you're standing over a frail 92-year-old man in a stamp-proof vest, if you sit at the same level straight away, the threat is diminished. Your
Absolutely.
Eye to... I'm not saying you go close up to him. He's got enough.
No.
Now, come along then, Mr. Burgess. What's the problem today? How are we... Because you know you can't
and
have that knife, sir.
The key as well.
Yeah. How are we going to get that knife out of your hand, sir? Come on,
yeah,
what are we going to do?
But maybe not even mention that at first.
Mm. Instead
let's,
of, I'm going to hit you with a nightstick.
No, absolutely no. I was trained and worked for many years with adults with severe learning difficulties and severe challenging behaviour. You do not raise your voice.
Well said, Nelly, or Helen. Thank you. A minute carved out for Phil in Margate because you were in the job and you were taser trained. What do you take from what you've seen or heard? Phil, good morning.
Yeah, sadly, Nick. Hello again. Me and my wife both retired, both ex-job, and we both looked at each other when we saw this on the TV and shock and disbelief was...
Yeah.
Look, I always stick up for the police, but I don't really think I can in this one.
No.
There's always things that go on behind the scenes that you don't know of.
Well, not a lot, Phil. There's only 83 seconds that took place in the whole exchange.
I know, but it's common sense. What makes a good police officer is common sense, and I think everybody will agree there's no
yeah.
common sense there. You just talk to them. He's not a threat. He ain't going to close you down because
no.
you're going to have time to react and run out the door.
Yep.
Safety's option. Run out the door. Shut the door behind you.
Yeah.
But a man
well, then he might turn the knife on himself, I suppose. We've got to be aware of that, Phil.
You can stop. You could just rush him, couldn't you?
Yeah, of course you could.
He's 93. He's got a 4-inch bread knife. Now, I mean, it's...
Were you surprised that they were cleared in 2 hours last year, Phil? Because you'll have experience of courts as a copper.
Yeah, because I've had stone bonkers that have got off it. And, yeah, I'm pleased in one sense because it's not a nice... But, yeah, very surprised that.
Phil, thanks. You had the last word. You don't want to see coppers go down because life for them is intolerable. But I do have to say, let's see what the police own investigation makes of that story. Phil, you had the last word. Thank you. I'm done. If you missed any of today's show, listen back on Catch Up on both Global Player and that LBC app. You can also stay up to date on the top stories and opinions. Put your news categories in the order you want. Pause and rewind live radio and listen to a range of podcasts, download, including that new one. Download the official LBC app for free from your app store now. James O'Brien's the other side of the news. I'm with you tomorrow morning from 7. Meantime, stay safe.
Thank you, Nick. The time is approaching 10 o'clock, and I wonder whether something altogether more important might be approaching for a political party widely regarded and often described as the most successful in history, or the most successful in the world. It's chatter at the moment, but it's chatter that is gaining in volume and reaching parts that previous chats have not reached. The Conservative Party faces problems. Is its leader one of them? There's a headline on the BBC. Dominic Cummings, remember him? Has suggested that the Tories may have reached an event horizon, after which there is no way back to relevance, to electoral success. I think it's time for us to have a talk about whether or not the Tory party as we know it is finished.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this...